Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus. Columbus.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Reasons like Zyn nicotine pouches are still America's number one choice for smoke-free, hands-free nicotine satisfaction. Or because you can choose between 10 varieties, each available in either 3 or 6 milligrams of nicotine satisfaction. Or even because Zyn offers a robust rewards program full of premium items and experiences. How's that for good reasons? Now, if you're still unsure whether Zyn is the right change for you, there's only one way to find out. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. You have a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
He does not care. It doesn't matter to him if people were killed on January 6th. It doesn't matter to him. It's all about him. Other people's lives don't mean anything to him. Other people's well-being doesn't mean anything to him. And it's all about seeking revenge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to George Conway Explains It All with Sarah Longwell. I'm not Sarah Longwell.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm her best friend, JVL, sitting in for Sarah. And George, we have about like 6 or 7 things to talk about today.
Did anything happen this week?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a week. It's been a week. And the good news is we only have 199 of them left. So, and I'm sure it'll all just fly by like we're having the time
absolutely
of our lives.
I mean, you know, the weather in Guantanamo is a little tough sometimes, but now it's snowing there probably. So, you know,
yeah,
we can make it work. We can make it work.
So I want to start with birthright citizenship. One of the president's executive orders is that the 14th Amendment is no longer applied.
Okay, I mean, he's the president. If he wants to erase part of the Constitution,
terminate
more power
parts of the Constitution. Right. So can you explain to me how this works as a legal matter? And I mean, I assume it will be challenged. We reported at the Bulwark that the ACLU is going to challenge. Can you walk through the challenge process and the process of litigating this executive order for us?
Well, I mean, you know, they have to find people who have standing. I mean, I can go through the merits. I can go through the procedure. But let's start with the merits. The merits, there's this amendment called the 14th Amendment, and it was part of the package of Reconstruction amendments enacted after the Civil War by the radical Republicans, who were kind of less radical than they are today. And, you know, they believed that the war was fought to end slavery, and they wanted to create a system where people are treated equally under the law. So they passed the Equal Protection Clause in there, but they also said that, you know, because there had been a debate about who's a citizen, who's not a citizen, you have to be a citizen of a state or not, and there was the Dred Scott case, and they just said, look, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, I'll get back to that little subject, that curly Q there, are citizens of the United States. And
seems simple.
With that simple phrase, that just means what it says. I mean, conservatives, it's textual. It's as textually clear as you can get. All persons born in the United States. And so forever since that amendment, it has been read to say that all persons born in the United States are citizens. Now, there's this subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And in recent years, great legal minds like John Eastman have tried to take that phrase and say, well, that phrase limits it
to children of people who are legally in the United States. And that is a ridiculous argument. It is a ridiculous argument because I went to Canada over the holidays. And I'm not a Canadian citizen. And I was driving on the highway with my Maryland driver's license. And I was driving through a national park in Canada. And if I was speeding and if I stopped without paying the fee to the Canadian park police, you know, the Mounties would come and get me because I was subject to the jurisdiction thereof in Canada, in Alberta, because I went there. And people who come to the United States legally or illegally are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That's why we can arrest them and deport them. Right? What does subject to the jurisdiction thereof mean? What it actually means is that there are people who come to the United States who are not subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Let's say my name is Boris Badenov, and I'm a Russian diplomat, and I'm stationed, you know, I get sent to go to that big spy castle on Wisconsin Avenue, and I have my wife, Natasha, and she's pregnant, and she goes into labor and she goes to Sibley Hospital. We take her there. I have diplomatic immunity, even though I'm a spy probably. And Natasha, also a spy, you know, I mean, that's, we're chasing around moose and rabbit sometimes, but that, but mostly we just spy. And when Natasha has baby Boris, Boris Jr., baby Boris is not subject to the jurisdiction of the, he has diplomatic immunity too. So the point being that if you have somebody who's subject, who has not, is not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States because they are in the country as, you know, they have protected status as a diplomat.
Right.
That means that little Boris can't be taken away. He's a Russian citizen. He's not an American citizen. That's all that clause means. And in fact, you know, nobody had the concept, nobody had the concept of illegal aliens in mind in the 1860s, because we didn't have any, laws governing immigration at that time.
Right. Right.
We didn't regulate it at that point. It was only later in the century, you know, when people got sort of upset at the waves of immigration that occurred in the late 19th century, that we started trying to regulate who came into the country.
And hasn't the Supreme Court litigated this once already?
Yeah. There was a case. I forget the name of the case. It is in the 19th century. One of the first things I ever wrote when I went off the reservation was an op-ed with Neil Katyal, former acting Solicitor General in the Clinton administration. Or Obama administration? I can't even remember anymore. We wrote this op-ed and basically said, this is clear as day. You can't get the history and the text are coextensive and absolutely clear. This is a nonsense argument. And it's, you know, the fact that numbnuts, the first felon of the United States, puts his signature on a piece of paper, can't overturn the Constitution. And so I fully expect that this argument isn't going to get the time of day. It's going to get slapped down pretty quickly, and it's not going to get any traction in the Supreme Court. There are going to be absolutely 6 or 7 votes at least. I mean, I can no longer judge whether or not.
You don't think
Alito and Thomas are going to vote on anything, but I mean, there's just no question.
History, so walk me through how it gets
combined.
So who
gets there? Basically, what happens is,
to file.
People who would have standing are little kids who are born 30 days. Like this executive order, I have to go back to the text of it. It basically applies starting now to people who are having kids.
Okay.
And kids that are being born. It doesn't apply retroactively. If it did, we'd have a lot of problems. And so somebody who is subject to this regulation, this unconstitutional regulation, whose citizenship would be called into question, they're born to whoever at Sibley Hospital or, you know, Howard Hospital, whatever, pick a hospital in the United States, here in DC or anywhere else. And if they have if there's a question as to whether or not those people are lawful permanent residents or not citizens, they could sue that their children are entitled to citizenship. And I think they've found some, you know, plaintiffs who are 9 months pregnant, who can bring suit on their behalf and then later on behalf of their children, or who are born in the last 30 days. I have to go back and look at the executive order to see exactly how it applies. And they have standing. They absolutely have standing to bring a lawsuit because they have an active stake in it, and it's their rights that are involved.
Does it matter where the suit is brought? Like the,
no.
Or the chain of the appeals courts and the districts?
No, like, you may get different results in different circuits, but the plaintiffs, you know, if they're smart, and I think they are smart, I haven't checked to see what venues they pick, but they've picked venues. I don't think they picked the fifth. They wouldn't go into the fifth circuit. They picked, I think, the third circuit. I think they picked the first circuit. I mean, I think they picked the courts, the federal courts of appeals that are not going to screw around with this.
Right.
And those are the cases that are going to come up first. And apparently they've drawn some pretty good judges, pretty smart judges. And, you know, I mean, I think that this is going to be something where the Trump administration is going to get slapped down. And they didn't have a particularly good record in the courts the last time around. And I think it's probably going to be worse now. I mean, I know people are very, very skeptical of the current Supreme Court. In light of some of, you know, in light of the way it handled the 14th Amendment Section 3 case, and in light of the way it handled the presidential immunity case. But again, I don't think you can generalize to say that, you know, Trump's going to win everything because now they're beholden to him or something like that. I don't think that's the way they operate. I don't necessarily like the way some of them operate, and I think some of them have cast appearances aside, but I think this is going to turn out with a sensible result. And look, I mean, it is not necessary. I mean, look, I mean, you could have a perfectly logical citizenship system that relied on the citizenship of the parents, right? I mean, in other countries, they do it differently. But this is right. The way we've done it. And it's I understand that there's a... It's actually in the Constitution. It's there right. for a reason. If you want to change the Constitution, you can do that. I mean, I think there are arguments. You don't want people to hop on a flight to Kennedy and then show up at a hospital in Queens and have a kid and do that. I can see that you may not want to invite people, to encourage people to do that. But the system we have is the system we have. And if we want to change it to another system, you shouldn't be trying to do it illegally. Because the whole point, the reason why people come here is because we have the rule of law. At least that was.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. The first question is, does the Supreme Court have to hear this? So let's say the circuit court.
No, they do not.
Rules against
they
it.
They don't.
And it's a very definitive ruling. And the Trump administration appeals up to the Supremes. Do the Supremes have to appeal to hear it? Or could they just?
No, I mean, but the argument I would make if I were the plaintiffs in opposition to a Trump administration petition for writ of certiorari in the Supreme Court, I'd argue and say, listen, this is clear. There, you know, hopefully there will be no conflict in the circuits. Everybody agrees. You said this before in the 19th century, and it's plain as day. There's no issue here. Please, you shouldn't take this case. Don't waste your time. And
that would be the best case scenario, right?
That should be the result. If everybody does their jobs properly, but the Supreme Court sometimes likes to weigh in on things because they think they should and because they think it's important, like they did with the immunity case, which they screwed up. They could have taken that case and just waited for it to come back after conviction, and we'd all be better off today. Again, you know, it's purely an act of discretion whether or not to hear the case on the part of the Supreme Court. And would they have four votes? I don't know. We'll have to see. You have to see how the opinions shake out in the lower courts and whether there's a conflict of this among the courts of appeals. I don't think there should be or will be. I do think that if that's true, the court should not bother with the case. On the other hand, it might be worthwhile if you're thinking it to basically say once and for all, again, you know, every hundred and some odd years, we'll just chime in and say, yeah, the text says what it said 120 years ago and 130 years ago, and it still means what it says. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about the pardons. So,
pardon me?
Pardons. Yeah.
Pardons, yes.
So we have now 1,600 people who have been pardoned. It was just all, fuck it, let's do all of them.
I mean, they didn't pardon. There was like a handful of people who got commutations.
Right. Commutations, clemency.
But they all got, they all got cut loose.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't want to make... Trump basically said, fuck it. Literally, that's what they quoted him as saying in Axios, because he didn't want to try to figure out who the violent offenders were and who weren't.
And, seems like a lot of work.
Because that's actually work that would require
that
people
seems
to
like
do
a lot
work.
Of work.
And nobody wants to actually do work. So therefore, let's let all the criminals. And besides, they were all, you know, whatever, as the president said yesterday, I think he said something to the effect that, oh, it was just minor stuff, whatever the violence was.
Yeah.
Was just minor stuff.
Just some minor stuff. I know, God, like if you go and just sort of start pepper spraying a cop on the street and you hit him with a stun gun in the neck and you take their firearm.
Yeah, no big deal. He spends a couple days in the hospital, no big deal.
Yeah. People don't get upset no big deal. Over that. The police are totally cool with that.
The cop gets disability. Yeah.
The police are very cool about that sort of thing.
Yeah, they're very cool about that. Happens everywhere all the time. I mean, I'm sure, if you when you go out later shopping or something, you may get pulled over and you may whack a cop.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens every day.
I want to let you cook on this, but I want to start out by asking you, do you believe that this was really about the hard work, like not wanting to do the hard work? Because I don't.
No.
My view is that he wanted the violent people out.
Correct.
That the whole point is he wanted the violent people out.
He wants them. He wants to reward these people. Absolutely. Because he doesn't think they did anything wrong, because his North Star of what is right and wrong is what's good for him. Not what's good for the country, not his oath of office, not anything like that. And, you know, the people who stuck their necks out most for him were the ones who committed violence. Good for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wants to reward them. He's purely transactional. And those people absolutely feel rewarded now. And they're going to go on their merry ways. And they're going to be convinced that nothing's going to happen to us because Donald Trump, the first felon of the United States, has our backs.
Are they wrong?
This isn't a good thing. This is a very bad thing.
Are they wrong, George?
No, they're absolutely right. If I were Enrique Tarrio, I mean, I would say, but yeah, I'm good. If I were Stuart Rhodes, a fellow Yale Law School graduate, who knew that, I'm good.
You're bulletproof.
It's time
now,
to party,
right?
And we get and we're gonna have and they get these guys get to go up to Capitol Hill and Lauren Boebert, is going to give them tours of all the places where they all smeared feces. This is where we are.
It's
it sounds great, huh? Perfectly
it's
normal.
Really, it's lovely.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
So, George, I had a question for you about Daniel Ball. So, Daniel Ball is one of our January Sixers.
Okay.
This is going to... I hate to shock you, but January 6th was not Mr. Ball's first encounter with the law.
Really?
He had previously been arrested and convicted on counts of domestic violence and violently resisting an arrest.
So is he going to get a cabinet post?
he does seem to be about as qualified as anybody else.
Right. Sure.
When he was arrested for the crimes he allegedly committed on January 6th, the arresting officers found him in possession of firearms and ammunition. Now, this is in violation of federal gun statutes. If you've been convicted for felonies previously, you can't own guns. And
wasn't
so,
there some guy?
I know. He painted. He was a painter. Notably,
yeah.
American painter.
And,
I don't
and
remember.
He wasn't allowed to own a gun either.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Okay.
So, Mr. Ball, as he was being processed for release following his January 6th pardon, was immediately rearrested on the outstanding warrant for his federal gun charge. His lawyer is preparing to argue that since that gun charge only originated from the arrest for a crime for which he's been pardoned, that should also go bye-bye. Is there a legal doctrine? Is there like, what is this like? Is this what fruit of the poison tree means? What?
No.
What the fuck is happening here? The answer is we just have to take all these thugs and criminals.
So basically, wait a minute. He had gun charges. There was a warrant for his arrest. I'm so confused. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying, so he was in possession of the guns.
At the time of
I don't know. I'd have to go back. I'd have to go to the text of the pardon. But if it's any and all crimes committed on January 6th, you know, I mean.
And the crime he's being arrested for, he was only arrested because of the January 6th crimes. Then.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, it really would turn to me, the answer would turn to the exact precise language of this, of the amnesty document. So I'd have to go back to the text and I'd have to go back to the facts and I'd have to do an analysis. But it's not a crazy, it doesn't strike me offhand as a crazy argument. Because if he's, you know, it just depends on how the pardon is framed. If it's basically anything, you know, if the possession he was charged with was the possession of firearms at that moment on January 6th and the language fits basically anything that happened in and around the Capitol on January 6th.
The possession of the firearms were when he was arrested in Florida for the crimes committed on January 6th.
Okay. That's not that I think I that shouldn't be covered, but I have to go back to the text. I don't think that you could write a pardon that's broad enough to cover that, I'm sure. But whether it covers that, I don't know. I'd have to go to the text of it. But it doesn't strike me as necessarily crazy, depending on what language they use. It's purely a textual question. And I'd have to go back to the text of what the first felon signed and see how I would construe it. And I don't have the text in front of me. I guess maybe I should, because who knows? Like I could run into we could all run into one of these guys anytime. So I mean,
one of the things, the deeper you go into this, the more you realize that this was not the first rodeo for many of these gentlemen. These are a bunch of misfits and thugs,
many of them.
We're going to see recidivism, I suspect, right?
Well, and, if it's if you don't punish people for their crimes, they often tend to do it again. That's why we punish criminals. We put them in jail so that they don't do stuff again. That's why Donald Trump should be in jail so he doesn't do bad stuff again, like foment an insurrection.
Do you remember when Trump, during the campaign, said more than once that he thinks that we should execute drug dealers in America? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Wanted to execute drug
dealers. This is my deposition. I made deposition. Yes, yeah. Sir. I recall that. Yes, I recall.
So yesterday, he also pardoned a gentleman named Ross Ulbricht. Are you familiar with Ross Ulbricht?
Vaguely. I mean, I understand.
Proprietor of Silk Road.
Yep. The marketplace for illegal substances. Yes.
Among other things.
Right. He got a very long sentence. What I don't understand about that yet, didn't he?
He did. He had a double life plus 40 years with no parole.
Yeah.
because he was selling like really, I mean, the thing he created was an part of an operation to sell some really bad shit to people that killed them, right?
Well, to like sell fentanyl? Lots and lots and lots of drugs to help money laundering. There was also a bunch of illegal services for sale. There were briefly firearms for sale. And he was not charged or convicted of this, but enough evidence was presented to the judge at sentencing that he allegedly, I'm being very good at using that word, George, allegedly attempted to put out 5 contracted hits on people who he thought were. And so this was
that
part
would
of
seem,
the
that would seem sentencing. If that would seem to be, if it's proven, it doesn't have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt at sentencing, but if it could, it would be a sentence enhancer probably.
Right. You know? So this is why. But so can you explain to me the tension between Donald Trump wanting to execute drug dealers and then pardoning the guy who oversaw
one of
the largest drug markets?
I have never understood what the clamor was about this guy. No one has ever, I haven't read carefully.
Libertarians.
About it, but
that's the answer. The answer is libertarians.
Because you should be. The libertarians who booed Trump, same people who booed Trump.
This is literally where this is. So he was like, the libertarians have been horny for Ross Ulbricht for like a decade because like drugs, man, you ought to be able to do drugs without anybody, harshing your mellow, dude. And when Trump went to speak at the libertarians, one of the things they were like, we'd really like you to pardon Ross Ulbricht. And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll look into that. He did it. It's just transactionalism. Right. The transaction.
Yeah, I can't figure any. I mean, look, you can't use logic with Donald Trump. OK, he's a sociopath. He has no moral code. He has no remorse. He has no conscience. He has no empathy for other people. And it's all about what pleases him or who he thinks he's rewarding at any given moment at that moment.
Yeah.
And he can change his mind tomorrow. Somebody can come in and say, no, this is bad for you. No, if they find out, that they could tell him that, oh, somebody associated with Ross Ulbricht, insulted you, then he'd probably be mad at the person who recommended that Ulbricht be. It's all random and arbitrary because he is random and arbitrary in every sense, except for the one sense is that whatever feels good to him, that pleases him, and that serves his interests as he perceives them in the millisecond of time that he is acting, that's all he cares about.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the #1 science museum in the country?
Ranked #7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's #1 nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on your gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on December 2nd. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food and Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
Did you clock his pulling Secret Service protection for John Bolton? Because that is the ne plus ultra example of what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. It is absolute. The fact that he comes into office and this is on the list of things.
His day one list.
Day one list is incredible. And, you know, I mean, he brags about what they did with the Iranians, okay? So he's punishing someone for doing what he wanted them to do because this person said that, you know, he's incompetent, and which he is. And it's incredibly vindictive, and he's putting, you know, I can't imagine that the Biden administration, I mean, I don't think people in the Biden administration were particular fans of John Bolton, would have authorized that Secret Service protection if there were not credible threats that the IC perceived. I mean, I'm scared for him that something will happen to him.
It almost seems like Trump is rooting for something to happen to him. Does it not?
Well,
I mean, this is...
I mean, he's a... But again, this is the sociopathy.
Right.
He does not care. It doesn't matter to him if people were killed on January 6th. It doesn't matter to him. It's all about him. Other people's lives don't mean anything to him. Other people's well-being doesn't mean anything to him. And it's all about seeking revenge. And the government of the United States has become an instrument of personal revenge for a sociopath. That's where we are.
And personal enrichment.
And personal enrichment, yes.
Can we talk about the Trump coin?
The Trump coin, yes.
The Trump coin. So I feel like I have to disclose this, that when the Trump
coin... Did you bought one?
When it first came out, I'm a bad person. I got to go to confession for this, George. But I caught the news of it quite early, and I feel like I've got a pretty good read on how Cletus thinks about the world. And so I went and I bought some Trump coins because I realized that at 9 o'clock in the morning, when Fox and Friends reports on this, a bunch of Cletuses all throughout America are going to jump on their phones and buy a bunch of these things. And that's exactly what happened. And I doubled my money
and then you
in
sold.
Like an hour and a half. And then I sold it all. So I basically.
And you know who got the commission? You know who's got the commission for that?
I believe it goes to the, wasn't it the Chi-Coms? Isn't it the Chi-Coms?
I don't know. I think he makes money off the commissions. I think it makes money off those
sales. I'm sure he does. But yeah. I took money out of the pocket of a bunch of Trump voters. And I got to say, it was exhilarating.
Wow.
I understand. I feel like I understand Wall Street now for the first time. I understand Gordon Gekko and all those guys. And it was.
Should we go out and want to go in for some sneakers?
It was great. You know, I see a good opportunity to invest in some Trump sneakers.
Call me. Tip me too. Yeah. We have to do this.
It's legal.
You have a conflict of interest. We can't talk about this.
Well, no, I'm just
actually, no, you're out of the stock. You've divested.
I'm out of the security, because it's absolutely not a security, George. But this is just a vehicle for funneling money to Trump and his family blindly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is legal. Like, this is a thing you can do. You can, as the sitting president of the United States, have this open air market where anybody who wants to carry, you know, TikTok can just throw a billion dollars into a coin for you. And
yeah, you know, it's sort of interesting.
There's no law against this?
You could argue, I mean, it would be,
I mean, I think you can argue it could be an illegal gratuity. You need a quid pro quo for a bribe. But if you're trying to reward someone for something you'd like them to do or you expect them to do or just being a good president that you think they are, you know, that could be considered a gratuity if there's no other value to what you're buying. So, I mean, again, I have to go back to the requirements of the gratuity statute, but it's basically, you know, if I mail a check to John Roberts and say, great job with that opinion last week, here's a token of my appreciation, and he cashes it, that's an illegal gratuity. Okay, I don't know that you can, where you have that level of evidence of specificity here because of the anonymity, but it certainly does seem like someone who is pleased with things that Donald Trump does and, you know, buys a big chunk of this, I bought these coins and thank God for Donald Trump. You know, I mean, you could try to make a case. And I have to say, one of the things I've been meaning to write about, and I have to get back to a place where I can write quietly, is we forget that that immunity decision that we have trashed so many times on this program is not airtight for Trump. It is not something that says categorically that everything the president does is kosher. It says that a lot of things are not subject to criminal prosecution. The SEAL Team 6 hypothetical that Judge Pan on the D.C. Circuit popularized during oral argument does seem like, yeah, a president could order a hit on a political opponent, and if he's using the military, he could get away with that.
Or Supreme Court justice.
Or Supreme Court justice, right? Why not? To get another opening. Why not? Right. But bribery, the court singled out bribery and gratuities, saying that is something, even if it involves an official act, an exchange for an official act or a reward for an official act, you're not immune as president for taking a bribe or a gratuity. And so, you know, the corruption that we're going to see that is an inevitable function of the crypto authoritarian, crypto autocratic regime that is now in place, headed by, you know, a narcissistic sociopath who is every bit as malignant as other autocratic leaders. We're going to see a lot of corruption. It's just part of the playbook, and everybody's acting in their own interest and trying to profit off the government. And it's awfully transactional. So, if there is a gratuity tucked away in these millions or billions of dollars that are being directed in the president's direction, he might not be criminally immune if there's proof of an underlying crime. So it's just something to bear in mind. Not that this Justice Department will ever pursue it, but there's statutes of limitations that can extend beyond 2028. I don't know whether he will, you know,
which is why he'll still be in office beyond 2028.
You say that and we kind of joke about that.
I'm not joking
because the fact of the matter is it's oftentimes it is exactly why authoritarians do not give up power without violence, because they know that they have committed crimes and they know that the next, if somebody else comes into power, they can be held responsible for those crimes. So this is all part of the very, very unsparingly bleak picture we have right now. But I do think the thing is the corruption is going to be overwhelming. And even if it is not investigated by criminal investigators, I think there's plenty of room for journalistic investigation. I think there's going to be room for pointing out to the public the way Alexander Navalny's people did, the corruption. And sooner or later, people become resentful of that because they, you know, these people who voted for this criminal because of the price of eggs, they should be upset that these meme coins are making this guy billions, you know, millions or whatever of dollars, whatever the amount is, and that all his friends are seeking ways to profit off of the government.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food and Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food and Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, last thing, George, and it gets at my overarching question for you with this episode. What is law? And I ask this in light of the TikTok actions undertaken by the president, where before he became president, while he was simply a private citizen, he directed the companies which were forcing TikTok to be taken out of the app stores. And he said, go ahead and restore them. And once I'm president, I'll make sure you're not prosecuted for doing anything wrong. And then once he became president, he simply said he was invoking a extension on the law passed by overwhelming bipartisan majorities and signed by the president of the United States, which stated that TikTok had to divest itself or be banned from App Store. Like, what? Where does that? How does that happen? How does that happen? How does he do that?
Well, look, he can't. I mean, the law is still the law, and he cannot bind future administrations from prosecuting the law, you know, enforcing that law. And that is why if you go onto your iPhone and you try to download TikTok, you'll get a message saying this app is not available at your location, because the people who are providing the mechanisms by which TikTok can reach users are potentially on the hook for, you know, if they provide TikTok to their users. And so they're smart enough, these entities, not to, you know, Google Store, maybe ISPs. I don't speak to understand exactly the mechanism that I'll rely on a tech jock to do that, but they can't take those guarantees. There's too much at risk for them. And so, he's not going to be able to restore TikTok without changing the law as it's currently written. And that would require an act of Congress signed by the president, which is possible. But I don't know whether it's likely.
Isn't that a rock and a hard place for if you're the Apple Store, you're the Google Play Store, if the president has let it be known that he wants you to restore these things to download, you are, you know, you displease him at your peril, but also you are at peril for violating the law, right?
Well, yeah. Don't say anything. Okay. If I were the general counsel of Apple, I would just say, well, we can't, unless the statute is repealed, amended in some manner, we can't guarantee that we won't be prosecuted for it. And we appreciate, Mr. President, your assurance. I'm being polite, even though I think he's a criminal, but that would be my job if I were the general counsel of Apple Inc. and I were advising Tim Apple and I would basically keep my mouth shut, other than to say, okay, but we can't accept this risk on our behalf. I mean, we sympathize with people who like TikTok. We understand the president's position, and I'd be very polite about it. But you know, we have other fish to fry, and we don't want to be in the frying pan. It's interesting. That sounds very folksy and country boy-ish, but
yeah, it's a very Matlock. Very Matlock.
Yeah, I don't think it's that difficult a choice. If I were advising Apple, I mean, if the statute applies, it applies, and if there are penalties, there are penalties, and it, you know, until those penalties are repealed, I don't know why any reasonable general counsel would advise his client to refuse to comply with the law.
So how is the rule of law going to hold up? I mean, we're on day four.
I think the rule of law, whether the rule of law holds up really depends on whether people are willing to fight for the rule of law, willing to litigate for the rule of law, and whether judges are willing to, you know, exercise, federal judges in particular, are willing to exercise their powers as Article III judges who have life tenure in substantial part because the framers believed that that would be the way to guarantee impartiality and courage among the judiciary. They're going to have to basically step up and do the right thing and apply the law as is and disregard any political clamor and write persuasive opinions and so on. And I have confidence that a lot that's going to happen, because look, I understand that one danger of authoritarian regimes, as this one, you know, is a proto-authoritarian regime. It wants to become an authoritarian regime. It wants to basically, as J.D. Vance says, tell the courts to go enforce their decisions. And that, you know, as a great legal scholar once described it, the third branch, the judiciary, is the least dangerous branch because it doesn't have soldiers and so on to enforce its orders. It only has its moral suasion and people. So, you know, it's really going to depend on the courage of the judges and people sticking up for the judges and people sticking up for the rule of law. If the Trump administration ultimately decides to defy the courts, which is entirely possible. And that's, you know, that's where I think, to go back to, I think I'm going to wave into the DC bar and become a litigator again, at least participate in some of this stuff, because I think this is where the battle is going to be. And I'm encouraged by the fact that there are so many people willing to donate their legal services and willing to devote themselves to the defense of the rule of law. And I think there's going to be more, but I think it's also going to be very difficult for a lot of lawyers, because a lot of lawyers represent corporations that are being cowed and intimidated by the current political environment, as we have seen, you know, the ABC settlement, and we're watching as the guy in charge of CNN is telling his anchors and contributors that, you know, let's not dwell on the fact that the president of the United States is a convicted felon and was twice impeached and so on and so forth. Their lawyers are going to have to decide like what's important to them, and people are going to have to decide what's important to them. Is the rule of law important to them? Because we all rely on that. And I,
you know, this, it depends on us at the end of the day. Because if they start disobeying court orders, where are we?
Yeah.
And,
let's.
But, you know, and let me just say, I think that the thing too is what gives me a little hope is they're overreaching. They're overreaching right and left. And I think they're going to lose most of this stuff. So I mean, I think when you push too hard in one direction on the courts and take extreme positions, you tend to lose. And I think that's what's going to happen in the courts, even in the Supreme Court. But we'll see. And it really is going to be incumbent upon, I think, particularly people in the legal profession, but people who understand the importance of the rule of law. It's the reason why, you know, people want to come to this country because of the rule of law. Interesting, ironically enough. I guess maybe that's the way to shut down immigration is to create so much chaos here that no one wants to come here. But that's not good for us. It's not good for the nation. It's not good for the world. And it's incumbent upon us to use every legal means at our disposal to resist not only things that we think are bad policy, but things that we think defy the rule of law, even if we don't necessarily agree with the law, such as the TikTok ban.
Yeah. Well, that'll be the last word.
Pretty good there. Yeah. So,
George, thanks for putting up with me. You'll get Sarah back next week.
I love you, JV. I mean, who could not love Sarah's best friend?
It's very kind of you. Everybody else, hit subscribe, hit like. Follow the channel. Good luck, America.
We're good. You're going to need it.
Well, George Conway, he's a man with a plan. Got to sit down with Sarah Longwell, take a stand, explain all the legal problems they're piling high. With Donald Trump, oh my, oh my, oh my. He said, Sarah, let me break it down for you. There's obstruction of justice, corruption too. The legal tangles and troubles, they're growing fast. It's a storm that's gonna last and last. Oh, Conway, tell him well about it. Those legal problems can't live without it. From the Emoluments to the Russian ties. Oh, Sarah, listen close.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the #1 science museum in the country?
Ranked #7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.